This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, July 13th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Michael Kaliska previews the Allerton Park Barn Festival concert series. And a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. An agreement that would let the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District expand into the south side of Savoy is almost ready. But Savoy officials say the public will get to voice their opinion on the proposal before any action is taken. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Savoy Mayor Bob McCleary says the proposed agreement with the CUMTD will be ready for public inspection next week in time for a July 25th public hearing. Opposition to the CUMTD has run high in Savoy, but McCleary says residents he's talked to seem willing to give this new proposal a chance.
They've taken a wait and see. The ones that I've talked about said, well, let's take a look at it. And that's what this is going to be for, is it'll be a public hearing so that they can take a look at it, and then we'll just go from there.
Under the agreement, existing residential neighborhoods in Savoy that are not currently in the CUMTD would be protected from forced annexation for 25 years. MTD school bus service would also be kept out. But some new apartment complexes where developers have requested bus service will be annexed, including the Village at Colbert Park, the Courtyards at Prairie Fields, and the not-yet-built Fieldstone project. McCleary says no date has been set for a Village Board vote on the agreement. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
A Michigan company said yesterday it still hopes to buy an auto parts business that includes three plants in Rantoul. The Collins & Aikman Corporation told a bankruptcy judge in Detroit yesterday morning that Troy, Michigan-based Cadence Innovation disengaged from sale negotiations. Cadence tentatively agreed in April to buy Collins & Aikman's plastics business, but the company said in June that they'd restarted talks. Cadence spokesman Russell Chick said his company is still interested. Roughly 500 people who work at the plants await the outcome. Collins & Aikman told Rantoul leaders earlier this month that the plants would close. Collins & Aikman filed for bankruptcy in 2005, hurt by declining sales of American-made cars and trucks. Gambling is back on the table at the Illinois Capitol as part of state budget talks. But even the biggest supporters of adding casinos say they are a long way from getting a consensus. Sean Crawford reports.
Illinois lawmakers have proposed using gaming revenue for a variety of needs, from education funding to road construction, with estimates showing the state needs about $1 billion more just to pay for existing programs. There's no surprise gambling remains in the mix as a way to generate money. A previous measure that would have given casinos to Chicago and some south suburban communities is being tweaked. Chicago Democratic Senator Ricky Hendon.
Geography is no longer in the bill, so Rockford can bid, Danville can bid. We're opening up to every city in the state of Illinois, and I think that's a good thing.
Community leaders in both Rockford and Danville have shown interest in getting a casino, but not everyone is optimistic there will be more riverboats. The House Speaker says the talks on gaming were more of the same and points out horse tracks that have suffered from casino competition are also wanting help, including being allowed to put slot machines on site. Many lawmakers oppose gambling expansion for moral reasons, but other than a tax hike, it could be the largest source of increased revenue for the state. I'm Sean Crawford.
There's no new word on the condition of operatic tenor Jerry Hadley, who's been hospitalized since Tuesday with a gunshot wound police say was self-inflicted. The 55-year-old Hadley has suffered serious brain damage, and police say he is not expected to recover. Hadley studied music at the University of Illinois, going on to become one of the nation's most celebrated tenors. One of Hadley's fellow students was Tom Schleiss, now the manager and principal coach of the university's opera program. Schleiss says his old schoolmate returned to campus last year to perform in Leonard Bernstein's operetta Candide. Hadley had sung the title role to great acclaim nearly 20 years earlier, but Schleiss says the tenor took a different role in the U of I production.
Now, Jerry didn't wish to do Candide. He wished to do some of the character parts, but he worked very well with our younger singers, and I spoke actually with one of our Candides yesterday who had heard from his teacher the news, and he was very upset because Jerry was understood how to work with our younger people.
According to news reports, Hadley had recently suffered from financial and personal difficulties, including problems with his voice. Schley says it's not unusual for lyric tenors to have to deal with changes in their voice in later years, but he says Hadley's performance in the character roles in Candide at the U of I was a delight. The jury in the trial of fallen media mogul Conrad Black is expected to start its 12th day of deliberations today. Black was once CEO of Hollinger International. He and three former colleagues are accused of cheating shareholders of about $60 million. Diantha Parker has more.
The jury sent a note Tuesday saying it was having trouble reaching a unanimous verdict on one or more counts. The judge brought the jurors back into the courtroom and reread them the instruction that says they must make every reasonable attempt to reach a verdict. The jury hasn't been heard from since, except to tell the court its daily deliberation schedule. After the jury left, the judge did say she usually reads this instruction to deadlocked juries two or three times, but she said she'd consider allowing a partial verdict if she gets another note asking for help. The charges against Black include tax evasion, racketeering, and obstruction of justice. But in all, the jury has 42 counts to decide on and more than 3 months of testimony to review. I'm Diantha Parker.
For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Come Labor Day, Central Illinois will be one sonic experience richer. The Allerton Music Barn Festival kicks off for the very first time in Monticello on August 31st. It will feature 4 days packed with a wide range of musical genres, from American classical and Latin jazz, Balinese gamelan, and zydeco. University of Illinois School of Music director Carl Kramer has been working toward this new music event since he came to Urbana-Champaign 5 years ago. AM 580's Michael Kaliska talked to him.
As everyone knows, things here slow down in the summer, and part of the reason for the festival is to begin to draw people to Champaign-Urbana and obviously, this festival's in Monticello, but into this general area.
Was there a particular event or a situation where you kind of thought, oh, man, this is the good idea?
The whole thing started 5 years ago when I first arrived to Champaign-Urbana. And one of the first things that the university does is to take you to Allerton. And I saw this barn and went inside. And, of course, inside it was completely full of junk. Old concrete lawn ornaments and farm implements and barrels of things that I have no idea what was inside of them, and at least 50 years of pigeon guano. And there were holes in the roof and holes in the sides. But it immediately struck me as a perfect acoustic space, and that it would just be cleaned out. It would be a fabulous concert space. So this coming Labor Day is going to be the fruits of 5 years' worth of dreaming and labor.
Barn is like a 19th century building, as far as I understand.
It's a 19th century Dutch hay barn. You know, when you go inside, especially in the lower level, you can see all the joists and how the wood beams are put together. And the upstairs, which is the concert space, is a wonderful 40-foot ceiling. What creates the beautiful acoustic is the cubic feet of airspace inside and how tall the ceiling is.
How many people fit into the barn to kind of actually listen to what is going on there?
Depending on how the seating sets up, anywhere from 150 to 175. So it's a relatively intimate facility.
Thing is, you know, we have summer. It's a barn. It's hot out there. How is it going to be in terms of temperature? Is there like something like an air conditioning installed?
When we installed the lighting system, we also installed three very, very large ceiling fans. And when those ceiling fans are on, it moves air through the barn. And we've had a couple concerts out there and it hasn't been a problem. We're also starting the concerts at 8:30 in the evening, so there's a time for the sun to go down and for things to cool off.
When we look at the project itself and the whole festival, it seems to me that it's a festival for your senses, basically. It's not just for music. A big element of the whole project as well as food, as far as I understand.
Rhonda Killian, who is one of the owners of Montgomery's restaurant, is my other partner in crime in this festival. She's come up with five menus that are just fabulous, gourmet meals to fit the theme of each of the concerts. Now, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with ticket sales and how the audience reacts to it.
When we look at the musical side of the whole thing, it's pretty diverse. I mean, you have jazz, you have Western classical, you have even music from Indonesia.
The Wayang Kulit, which is a shadow puppet performance, will be a traditional performance using a dalang, who is the puppeteer, if you will, and he will be accompanied by three musicians who will be playing gamelans. Basically, it's a white, big white screen lit from behind, and the dalang sits behind the screen and then manipulates the puppets as he tells the story.
And the gamelan is kind of drums, bells, and gongs?
I guess they look like xylophones to somebody in Western culture. You'd look at it and you say, oh, that's a xylophone.
What are your aspirations for this music festival? When you look ahead for the next years to come, where do you see it in the future?
I guess I see it in two ways. First of all, I'd like to see the festival grow into perhaps 4 to 6 weeks worth of concerts and begin to formulate a school to bring in students from around the country to learn and to perform. Similar to music festivals around the country like Norfolk, like the Aspen Music Festival, like the Tanglewood Music Festival. And then eventually I hope that we perhaps build some kind of a very large music shed where we could then begin to do larger performances such as orchestras. You know, we're talking maybe 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people.
AM 580's Michael Kaliska talked to U of I School of Music director Carl Kramer about the Allerton Music Barn Festival. Performers will include the Chicago Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble, Allerton Festival Chamber Orchestra consisting of faculty from the U of I School of Music. Others include the Pacifica Quartet and Big Grove Zydeco. They're a local band with Creole, blues, Cajun, and country roots, led by U of I music professor Tom Torino. The festival starts August 31st. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly sunny skies today with a high of 82. Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 58. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a high around 85. Partly cloudy tomorrow evening. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the low around 60. Mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s on Sunday. Sunday night and Monday, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-60s, the high around 92. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, July 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.